I speak to you in the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and life-giving Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
From today's Gospel reading, Jesus said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself." This season of Easter reminds me of that expression, the gift that keeps on giving. That's Easter, a gift that keeps on giving. But it is also a miracle that keeps on happening. First, we have the miracle of the third day when the women come early in the morning to the tomb. They find the stone rolled away and the tomb empty. And that's awesome and mind-boggling, but it doesn't stop there. The miraculous, surprising, impossible, and awesome just keep on happening. Because Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. He appears to Peter and to John, to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, the disciples gathered in the upper room, and to Thomas. And Jesus walks through walls. He eats bread and fish. He explains the scriptures, and he shows them his wounded hands and feet. And then he disappears just as quickly and mysteriously as he comes. He comes to them speaking words of peace, of comfort and forgiveness, but he does more than that. He comes as a witness to show them things, to offer what lawyers call demonstrative evidence of who he is and what it is he stands for. And he does this for frightened and confused people. And in a way, when we first think about it, that might seem to make things worse, to make them perhaps more scared and more confused. Because he shows them the wounds of his mangled, bruised, and angry-looking hands and feet. And that doesn't seem very comforting or encouraging, does it? Many people I know would run from such a sight. They would just say yuck and be disgusted. But we have to remember that these hands and feet hadn't always looked like this. Before his death, Jesus' unmarred and very gifted hands had tenderly stroked the sick, the dying, the ailing, the vulnerable, healing them. And these hands had lifted up Peter's mother-in-law from her sickbed and restored her to health. These hands had taken up children in his arms and blessed them. These hands had blessed bread and fishes when the crowds gathered. And one of these hands calmed a violent storm on the Sea of Galilee. And his strong, nimble feet had carried him for 3 years of mission throughout Galilee and then all the way to Jerusalem, where he met his death. His were hands that joined him to other people, and his were feet that joined him to the earth. But after his resurrection, these hands and feet had holes in them, sore, angry-looking wounds that probably hurt just to look at. But nevertheless, he showed them to his fearful and confused friends, not to scare them, not to gross them out, but to make the point that he had gone through, not around, but through all the evil in the world to come out on the other side alive and victorious. And this is the point. While he had emerged alive and victorious, he did not emerge unscathed. He still had those marks, those wounds. And he shows them to his friends to convince them of the reality that God is stronger, God's love is stronger than any evil or death, that God had the last word on that Easter morning. It was a reality God needed Jesus to testify to. And then it became a reality that God needed Jesus' friends to testify to. You see, it wasn't enough for Jesus to come back and show his followers his hands and his feet, to convince them of the truth of his risenness. And it wasn't enough for him to be reconciled to them and for them to be reconciled to him. The miracle needed to continue. The disciples needed to become witnesses as well. They needed to be just as transformed and renewed and reformed as Jesus was in his resurrection body through the power of that first Easter moment, so that the power of that first Easter moment could be transmitted and spread to the entire world. And that is exactly what happened. In our reading from the second book that Luke has written, we call it the Acts of the Apostles, we hear the wonderful story of Peter now witnessing or testifying to the truth of the resurrection. But our lectionary reading this morning did not include the part that I like better, the part that immediately precedes the portion that we read. And that is the story of Peter encountering the lame beggar outside the temple by the beautiful gate. Because it's a story all about hands and feet. So you may remember when the beggar encounters John and Peter coming to the temple to pray, the beggar asks them for money. And Peter replies, "I have no silver or gold, but what I have, I will give you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And Peter takes him by the right hand, just as his master would have, and he raises him up. And the lame beggar immediately is healed. And Luke tells us this detail that his feet and ankles were made strong. And not only does he start walking, but he starts leaping for joy that he has been healed. Now, Luke never mentions this beggar again, so this is just my own imagination, but I like to imagine that with this joy of restoration of his feet and ankles, that this beggar went on with a heart bursting with joy and gratitude to spread the good news to the ends of the earth. But in any event, we know that the hands of Peter healed the feet of the beggar, which fired the hearts and minds of those onlookers who witnessed the miracle. And so it continues. This Easter gift, this Easter miracle that just keeps on giving and happening. So what about us? What about us gathered here this morning to worship? We are redeemed, forgiven, transformed people. And we too are mysteriously connected to that first Easter through our dying and rising again in baptism. So as resurrection people, shouldn't we be recognized by our hands and feet? Perhaps by the wounds of our hands and feet? But are we? What acts of service have we done with our hands? Where have our feet taken us? And if someone skeptical or frightened looked at us and looked at our hands and feet, what would they know about us? Would they know that we are followers of Jesus? Would they see us leaping for joy with hearts overflowing because we have been healed and restored? And watching us, would they then come to believe and give their hearts to this man? The famous Episcopal preacher Barbara Brown Taylor says it better than I can. She writes, "You are witnesses of these things Jesus told them before he left them, entrusting the world to their care. And so when the world looks around for proof of the risen Christ, when they want to know what does that mean, it is us they look to. Not at our pretty faces, not at our sincere eyes, not at our done or undone hair, not at our new sweater or jacket. No, the world will look at our hands and our feet. They will look at what we've done with them. Where have we gone with them? We are witnesses of these things. The world is watching. It's ready for our testimony that the miracle of the third day is still happening. So it is up to us. We are witnesses of these things." Amen.